Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reid, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reid in the thrilling adventure of Hit and Run. Had been working overtime in his office at the Daily Sentinel. Miss Case, his secretary, had been on hand taking shorthand notes of the conversation between the young publisher and a man named Schuyler. Two men across the street from the Sentinel building watched the window of Britt Reed's lighted office.
Hey, look in the window, Joe. Schuyler's standing up shaking hands with Reed.
Yeah, I can see him. He's just about to leave.
The dirty squealer.
He'll get all that's coming to him. Flash your light so Sammy can see it and be ready when Schuyler leaves the building.
Well, thanks for coming up, Schuyler. You won't regret it.
I came to you, Mr. Reed, because I knew I'd get a square deal.
Count on it. You could find your way at the elevator, can't you?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. Good night, Miss Case.
Good night, Mr. Schuyler.
11 o'clock. It's been a long day, Miss Case.
But, oh, golly, how worthwhile.
Too bad Schuyler wouldn't give us names.
Well, he gave us everything else about the liquor smuggling racket.
He certainly did. And when he goes to the district attorney with his story, he's going to make it very hot for a couple of members of the State Liquor Commission.
You really think they're involved in bringing stuff in from other states to, well, to avoid the state tax?
I'm sure of it.
Well, I'll go out to my typewriter and get busy.
Hey, just a minute.
Huh?
There seems to be some excitement down below in front of the building.
Oh, golly, look at the crowd down there.
Now, open this window.
Oh, there's a man lying in the street.
I'll call the switchboard and see if I can find out what happened.
Someone's taking pictures. I just saw a flash gun.
Hello? Do you know what's happened in front of the building?
It's Clicker Binny. She's on the job with her camera.
What's the name?
And here comes an ambulance.
Thanks.
Oh, we'll tell you. That guy on the street is dead from a hit-run driver. And we got the number of your cab.
Holy smoke, look, I didn't have no... Hey, holy mackerel. This is the guy.
Huh?
Here, right here in the newspaper. This guy standing in the crowd looking at the dead man. He's the one. He was out here last night.
Suffering his name. What was he doing here?
I tell you, there's something funny about this. I finished hacking last night around 9:30. I run my cab in the driveway here the same as usual. And hit the hay early on account I've been doing a double duty lately. It's around 1:00 when I wake up. Hear a car driving in. I hop to the window and see it's my own cab. So quick like a flash, I'm out of bed. I'm out here collaring a guy that's just getting out of the cab.
Hey, wait a minute, fella. Wait a minute. Take it easy.
What's the idea of driving my cab?
It's all right. It's okay. I didn't hurt anything. If you just calm down.
Are those your pals that just drove up in the other car?
Yeah. They're square things with you.
Hey, you the guy that owns this cab?
Yeah, I am.
Well, look, buddy, we don't want any trouble. My brother made a mistake, and I'm here willing to pay it.
Your brother?
Yeah.
I'm his younger brother.
Every once in a while, he borrowed the car. Tonight, he borrowed yours. As soon as I found out what he had done, I made him return your cab. Here's $50. That should cover everything.
Oh, gosh, $50. Well, after all, $50 is $50. I don't want to make no trouble for anyone.
And the guy that gave you the $50 is the guy in the picture here in the center.
Yeah, that's it. This fella right here wearing the gray hat. You see him?
Well, what about him?
That's the guy. He's the one that came up in the second car, the one that gave me the $50 and said his brother was driving my hack.
Suffering snakes, Burke. I can't put my finger on it, but there's a story here somewhere. I've got to tell Reed. He'll know what to do.
So I stuck right with Burke while he took Pete, the cab driver, into the cop's headquarters.
Well, go ahead, expert. Then what?
They brought in the cab and some of the boys went over it. There were a few threads caught on the bumper, and it was proved that they came from Skyler's overcoat.
Then that was the hit-run cab.
Yeah, but there were no fingerprints on it to back up Pete's story that someone else was driving it.
Well, what about Pete?
He was booked on a manslaughter charge.
What about his story of the man on the photograph?
The cops don't take much stock in that.
Oh. Well... Oh, well, Axford, now you better take the rest of the day off and catch up on your sleep.
How about you, Mr. Reed? You've been up all night.
Well, I want to talk to Police Commissioner Higgins. I think I'll call him up and see if he's free for lunch.
What's this? Another prelude?
Prelude? What do you mean, Higgins?
Our luncheons at the Civic Club seem to be a prelude to a night of activity on the part of the Green Hornet.
Why, have you mind?
What's it about?
Rum running. Smuggling liquor into this state.
Mm-hmm.
And a man named Schuyler who was killed last night by a hit-run driver.
I noticed that your paper gave heavy play to Schuyler's death. What's behind it?
No. I don't think his death was an accident.
No?
Schuyler was a member of the organization that's been smuggling liquor into the state. He wanted to get out.
Out of the organization?
Yes. He planned to go to the district attorney this morning and tell all he knew, including the names of the smugglers and the men on the liquor commission with whom they've been dealing.
Hmm.
Schuyler knew he'd be involved and would need legal counsel. So he came to me and offered an exclusive story if we'd pay for his attorneys. He was killed as he left the building.
Did he tell you anything important?
He gave me some facts, some dates and places. But the information is worthless until we can fill in the names.
He didn't name his associates?
No.
Well, we're holding the driver of that cab on a charge of manslaughter.
I don't think Pete is the driver.
But it's his cab that killed Schuyler. And
Pete claims his cab was stolen. Didn't he show you that picture in the Daily Sentinel?
Yes, but...
He claims that the man in the picture was with the man who returned the cab.
I know.
Higgins, one of the reporters identified the man in the photograph.
The police are checking on him.
I've already checked. His name is Thorpe. He has a run-down office on the second floor of an old fire trap building on 10th Street.
What kind of an office?
He's supposed to be in the investment business. But I think he's one of the group that's been bringing liquor into the state illegally.
And you think he had this fellow Schuyler murdered?
Yes, to keep Schuyler from going to the district attorney. It might be possible to break the smuggling organization through Thorpe.
It's probably quite useless for me to ask how.
Where is Pete's taxicab?
We're holding it in the parking lot at police headquarters.
What about Pete?
We're holding him in jail until he can furnish bail.
Can you keep Pete and the cab where they are until you hear from me?
No. I think so.
Oh, one thing more, Higgins. How many men are on watch at that police parking lot?
Well, it's right next to the station. There's usually a half dozen men around, including the tow car crew.
Not so good.
Why?
Is there any time when one might find fewer?
Well, I can always send the tow car out on some business.
If it could be arranged for just one guard to be on duty around 8 o'clock tonight.
It might be arranged.
Can I depend on that?
Yes, you can depend on that.
Higgins, you may hear from me directly or indirectly as the Green Hornet.
After his luncheon with the police commissioner, Britt Reed spent part of the afternoon in the vicinity of Thorpe's office. He examined the old two-story building from all sides and talked to a number of people in a rundown neighborhood, asking questions about Thorpe and his associates. After dark in his apartment, he called Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, to his room.
I have a plan, Cato, but we can't put it into effect until tomorrow night.
How is that, Mr. Britt?
Before the plan can succeed, Thorpe must see a certain news item in the Daily Sentinel. It'll be published tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And tonight, we're going to make that news. Tomorrow night, we'll go after Thorpe.
What do we do?
And we're going out as the Green Hornet. We're going to investigate Pete's taxicab.
Where is the taxicab now?
In the police parking lot. There'll be only a single guard on duty. He'll not give us any trouble. Come on, Cato. Follow me.
Cars in the parking lot behind police headquarters. Some were cars that had been found abandoned. Others had been towed in because of illegal parking. Still others had been impounded for various reasons. Britt Reed parked the Black Beauty nearby.
Keep your face well covered, kiddo.
Yes, sir.
There's the guard right over there.
I see him.
If Pete's taxi cab is just beyond. You see it?
Yes, sir.
We'll get the guard from behind. I want him gagged and tied, but he must be completely conscious to see what we do. Quiet now.
Take it easy, copper, and you won't be hurt. No, you're struggling. You're going to be gagged and tied. Behave yourself. We won't be rough.
Get that rope around his wrist.
That's it.
I'll stay right here with him while I go through that taxi cab.
Cato kept a close watch on the police guard, who in turn stared wide-eyed as the Green Hornet went through Pete's taxicab in a search that was far more complete than anything the police had done. He pulled out the seats and threw them aside, and then the floor mats, and then with a flashlight and a small whisk broom, he swept the bare floor, both front and back, collecting the dust in an envelope. Soon he was finished. Then he returned to the guard.
Sorry we had to inconvenience you. I'll call headquarters in a few minutes and tell someone to relieve you of that gag.
Mr. Axford will report what happened at parking lot?
Of course he will. When his story comes in, I'll have a couple of suggestions.
Well, you will go to office now?
Not just yet. I want to examine Thorpe's office. This will be a good time to do it.
Thorpe's office was dark and deserted, which was just what the Green Hornet wanted. He examined the building from the outside, then let himself in through a window off a fire escape in the rear. When his observations were completed, he sent Cato and the Black Beauty home and went to his office to be sure the Green Hornet's activity in the police parking lot would appear in the next day's newspaper. It was the following afternoon when Sam Bates came to Thorpe's second floor office. He found Joe there ahead of him.
Come in, Sam. Close the door.
Said you wanted to see me, Thorpe.
I do. I thought I told you to be careful while you were in Pete's cab.
Careful? I was careful.
What did you lose in the cab?
Lose? I didn't lose nothing. You know how the cops went through it. They dusted it for fingerprints and everything else.
Yeah, but did you read in the paper how the Hornet went through it?
Well, what of it?
He found something that proves you were in that cab. And if he can prove that, it'll prove that Pete told the truth and I lied to the cops. Then where are we?
What'd he find? And how do you know he found anything?
He called me up.
What?
Yeah, just a little while ago.
He's coming here tonight. He says he's open to a proposition.
What kind of a proposition?
We'll talk about it when he gets here. He said he's got something he's willing to sell, and if we don't buy it, he turns it over to the cops.
Think hard, Sam. You must have left something in that cab.
But I tell you, I...
Skip it. You be here at 9 o'clock tonight. You and Joe can be hidden in the other room. I'll talk to the Hornet, and when I give the signal, you boys come out with your guns ready.
9 o'clock, huh? Well, I'll be here.
The Green Hornet guided the Black Beauty to another spot near the police parking lot. But this time, his plans were quite different.
There's the same guard, Cato. They give him a chance to let out a shout of alarm, and we've got to get away fast and take him with us.
I understand.
I hope Axford and Bert don't let us down. All ready. Now.
Watch it. Shoot.
Yeah, no, you don't. Leave your gun where it is.
Help!
You fool. Now I've got to gas you.
It's the Hornet. It's the Hornet, boys. Come back.
You asked for that. Have to carry him to the car.
Can I help?
I can carry him. You go ahead and start the car.
Hey,
Bert. Bert and Axford are right on the job. You drive while I tie the guard before he comes to.
Yes, sir.
Get going.
Turn my flashlight over there. I see it. It looks like a wallet.
Come on. I was sure I saw something drop.
Golly, a wallet. Maybe there's identification in it.
Here, you hold the light. I'll inspect this thing.
Hey, Burke, you needn't snatch.
And you needn't be all the time interfering with official business. Now let's see what's in this wallet.
9 o'clock found two men in Thorpe's office. Sammy paced the floor nervously, while Joe sat quietly examining a revolver.
Now get it straight, boys. When the Green Hornet comes, you two go in the next room while I sound him out and see what he has to say.
The door locked, so you'll have to knock to get in?
Yeah.
Well, I wish he'd come and get it over with.
Relax, Sammy, relax.
That's good advice.
What, the Hornet? Drop that gun. I mean you.
All right, don't get sore.
I must be slipping. I forgot about the fire escape outside the window of that back room.
And these things, fire escapes.
Well, now that you're here, start talking.
First, I've got to make sure you boys don't play with firearms. Sit still, Thorpe. No gun, eh?
Never use them.
How about you?
And look here,
stand
Bonnie.
Still.
Now the meeting will be peaceful. Now, one thing more. I'll unlock this door. I might want to go out that way in a hurry.
What's on your mind?
Over the phone, I told you I could prove that your pal drove Pete's taxicab and killed Schuyler.
I know you went through the cab last night. What did you find?
It's in this envelope. The price is $5,000.
What if I don't pay up?
You'll pay, Thorpe. You've got to pay. You're involved in murder just as much as Sammy, even though you didn't drive the cab.
Even if you prove I drove that cab, you can't prove I ran Schuyler down on purpose. The worst I'll get will be a charge of car stealing.
You're forgetting the things that had come out if you boys were taken in by the cops. Just remember that Schuyler talked to a newspaper before you killed him. It won't take the police long to put everything together. They'll soon have the whole story about your liquor smuggling.
You're well informed.
You could be held without bail on a murder charge, and while you're in jail, the boss go through your books and files and learn about your rum running. And the men you've worked with. The men higher up.
Thorpe, you better pay them off. You can get most of the $5,000 back from Harold and Stanford.
Those are the boys on the liquor commission.
Sam, you talk
What's
too much.
The difference? This guy's got his peg. Give him the cash and get that evidence.
Let's see what you got in that envelope.
Fair enough. Let's see the $5,000 in cash.
Hey, someone's coming.
Lock that door.
Hold it.
But if someone comes...
Stay where you are. I like company.
Come on, boys.
It's a law.
Where's that sweetheart?
There he goes. That's where your door.
You mugs, stand where you are.
Hey, what's the meaning of
Let
this?
Let me out of here. You got nothing on me.
Stand still. Watch these three punks, boys. I'm going after that masked hornet.
Burke, he's locked his door.
Watch the door.
Now, hold on. You can't come to my office.
Save it, Thorpe.
Here goes the door.
Good work, Ashford.
That window's open.
You guys keep an eye on Thorpe and his pals.
All right, Burke. We got him. Burke, look outside this window. The guy that's here on the fire escape cuts up like a turkey for cooking.
Get that gag out of his face.
Burke, give me a hand first. I've got to drag him in. There he is. Now, I got my knife right here. There you are.
Thanks. It was a hornet. A hornet brought me here.
We know it. We found a wallet he dropped. And it had Thorpe's address in it.
What is down there? You can see him getting in that car.
Fox, there he goes.
We better get out of
here. Now, wait, Burke. Listen to me. I heard all that was said between Hornet and Thorpe. I heard plenty. Thorpe admitted that he and his pals murdered Schuyler. But that's not all. Thorpe named Harold and Stanford to the liquor commission. He was working with those two smuggling liquor into the state.
Well, now, Bob.
You'll find proof of everything in Thorpe's records in his office.
Come on, Buck. Let's go. Then, Reed, Pete picked Sammy and Thorpe out of a lineup at police headquarters, and Sammy broke down. He turned state's evidence and told all about how Thorpe plotted to kill Schuyler.
Well, you must have had a busy evening, Axman.
Oh, that I did. And there'll be more tomorrow with the law calls on those two birds with the state commission.
Good. But, what about that envelope you mentioned?
The one the Hornet tried to sell to Thorpe?
Yes.
Nothing in it but dust. You know, Reed, what with abducting the guard and dropping that wallet and leaving the guard where it could hear what was said, the Hornet couldn't have been more help to the law if he was a special agent or the police commissioner himself.
Axford, do you think the Green Hornet might be the police commissioner?
No, but by golly, I sometimes think he'd make a good one.
Copyrighted feature originates in Detroit, and all characters, places, and incidents used are fictitious.